Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., with Meredith Locker. And if you're watching this video anywhere else except calbanyan.com, go there right now, because right below this video, right down there, we got extra links and support materials, information about the stuff we're talking about. And let's see, got a lot of stuff going on right now. We're just around the corner from me doing a couple of trainings. I'll just announce them real quick. October, we've got the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Super Course for, you know, just starting from scratch, 10 days in a row. Very strong, very busy, very powerful class. And then in November, we've got the Week of Power. The Week of Power is for all you folks out there that are already certified as a hypnotist or a hypnotherapist, and you want to move it up to that next level, become a 5-pather and a 7-pather, and begin your way to becoming a 1%er, which is the top 1%. And, you know, we're here to help you do that. And let's see. Oh, I need to tell you about Meredith Locker. I'm so privileged to have her as our co-host. She's a brainiac. She's very smart. She's very confident. There's something about her. Just we were talking about what we were going to do last episode, and she goes, I'm up to the challenge. I'm going to do it. That's one of the things I really like about her. She's courageous. She's self-confident in a real healthy way. She's got a master's degree in psychology. She was a psychotherapist before she became a hypnotherapist. Her practice is in L.A., and if I knew someone that I was going to refer to, that lived in L.A. to a hypnotherapist, I'm sure that Meredith would be the one. I'd feel very confident in sending them that way. And if you want to know more about Meredith and to get sessions with Meredith, just go to yourpathhypnosis.com. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing so great, Cal. Thank you so much for all of that kudos. I appreciate it.
And I even mean it.
I love that, and I can tell. So sincere and authentic. I wouldn't want it any other way. Let me tell you guys about Cal. Cal is preparing to ride 100 miles on his bike, just blowing my mind, as if he didn't get, you know, every day more impressive with all that he's done in his life. But he's going to have to ride this 100-mile thing, and he keeps trying to pull me into it. But Cal is the ultimate trainer. He loves to teach people how to do 5-Path, the system that he developed, teaches people 7th Path, which is even more, I think, near and dear to his heart, brought to us all of these amazing systems and tools that we can use every day to help people. And then he didn't stop there. He still does sessions. He does them here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center in Tustin. And he also goes all over the place to do all kinds of other things, like the NGH, which we've just gotten back from. He has just gotten back from. And he's written books. He's created all kinds of manuals. He is the king of the internet. I mean, gosh, he just blows my mind with where he gets all of this energy from. He just keeps getting out there more and more. Tell them about this whole new thing that you're doing, Cal, with your pinging.
My pinging? Gosh, I'm just a pingster.
You sure are.
I'm just totally into the social network marketing thing, and I've tried to be as efficient as I can. I'm trying to look up something right now on the internet, and you were supposed to keep blabbing while I did that, but I'll just do a couple clicks. There we go. And I've on my screen, I've got ping.fm. When I send off these microblogs to about 30 different microblogs, and this one piece of software helps me send it out to all of them. I got Facebook. I ping to, well, I'll go through the list again. Twitter, Facebook, Plurk, Hypnospace, no, MySpace, LinkedIn, Tumblr, Identica, Brightkite, FriendFeed, Jaiku, Blogger, Plaxo, LiveJournal, Bebo, HiFive, Mashable, Zanga, Friendster, and Yahoo 360. Hey, if you guys out there know a group that I should be a member to, a microblog of some sort, then you email me or you leave a comment below and you let me know. I'll check it out. Hey, you know, you were talking about me developing 5-Path, and, you know, there's really, well, I forget who said it. There was someone that won some great award in physics, and he said, if I happen to see farther than others, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. And really, 5-Path has been developed and refined on top of the work of such giants as Harry Arens, Charles Tebbets, Gerald F. Kine, Gil Boyne. In the hypnosis arena and in psychology arena, there's Franz Anton Mesmer, of course, and Dr. Ivan Pavlov, and Dr. Fritz Perls, Gestalt therapy. That's really where a lot of the forgiveness work comes from. And Aaron Beck's cognitive therapy. It's really my bringing my psychological background together with the classical and contemporary hypnotists of our time, really moving all their most powerful techniques into a system that is designed to be universally applicable to many different kinds of issues and maximize the potential of each of the most powerful techniques, such as age regression, Gestalt work or parts therapy, forgiveness work, parts work, all that kind of stuff. And that's really where it comes from. And I'm so just honored to be a part of the ongoing development of the profession. Many of you may know C. Roy Hunter. He's written books such as The Art of Hypnosis, The Art of Hypnotherapy. And I suggest to him a while back that he should write a book about the recent history of hypnosis. And he's actually been working with the NGH to write a book about the field and how it has developed since like World War II. So that, you know, last 50, 60 years of development. Because I think in a lot of the history books of hypnosis, they don't talk about some of the late greats and current greats that have really shaped the profession. And I got a mention in there, so I'm just thrilled. All right, so what are we doing today?
Well, we have all kinds of questions that have been submitted by all kinds of different hypnotists, hypnotherapists, five pathers, you name it. And I'm really excited about getting to some of these questions. So it's just fun to get the diversity out there. And we were definitely looking for more questions and comments from all of you. So please do submit them to, you know, ourhypnospace.com. There's an Ask Cal group where you can post questions there if you belong to that. Or if you don't, join. It's really easy. It's really fast. And you can also post comments and things like that. You know, if you're watching this on calbanion.com, there's a place to do that just down there. And you can email us directly as well. We get those emails and we're happy to get those. My email is meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. But I'm going to go ahead and just launch right into the first question, Cal. You ready?
Fire away. Let me have it.
All right. So this question is from Janet, and she says, I've been asked to give a talk on Five Path by the chair of the UK Guild of Hypnotist Examiners at a convention in the United Kingdom. As I am certified as a Five Path practitioner, but not as a teacher, am I qualified to do this? I would really love to do it. It would give me back the confidence that I had as a social worker before retirement. So clearly she came out of retirement to be doing this work, and that's pretty impressive. Also, I'd like to hear your suggestions on the content of the talk if I'm able to do it.
Now, she's currently certified as a Five Pather, is that correct?
Yes, she's a practitioner, but not a teacher.
Oh, okay. She's not a C-Fi.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? I think that, you know, what part of our responsibility as professionals in the world of hypnotism is to educate the public and other professionals and also other hypnotherapists and hypnosis professionals on what we do. And I think that if they think you're qualified to go there, go ahead and go there. And the way I would do it is, you know, just go through your manuals. You've got the level one manual and the level two manual. And I would just start off with doing, you know, talk, do, make sure we use some terms differently than a lot of hypnosis professionals. And so you want to define what a five-pather defines hypnosis as. And that is just simply a heightened state of suggestibility. And that we don't look at it as a form of sleep. That the name somnambulism is a misnomer. Hypnosis has nothing to do with sleep. I'd let them know about that, and then I would just start going through what each phase is for. And this is a talk that I will have just completed at the NGH convention last week. The overview. If you're going to the convention, go to the talk and you'll see what that's about. But, you know, phase one, preparation, testing, and convincing. preparing the client to have the proper experience in hypnosis, to go proper depth of hypnosis, so that they'll be hopeful, and that you want to do testing to make sure the proper level of hypnosis, which is in the Harry Aaron scale, stage 4 or deeper. And just go through those little things. It kind of depends on how much time you have. Talk about age regression and how finicky we are about not leading the client, and how important affect bridge is, and how we have a very specific criteria for establishing when we've actually found the ISE, and how that, unlike some professionals, we do the informing work before the ISE. And just, you know, give them an overview of that. You don't have to teach them how to do 5-path, but kind of give them an overview and kind of compare and contrast, as your high school teacher would say, and then then move on to the phase 3 and the phase 4 and the phase 5. They're going to be amazed that there really is no other well-known system of hypnosis and hypnotherapy that exists. And let them see, talk about the advantages of having a system. Some of the advantages you might want to talk about are that, heck, you know what you're doing. And you can have a criteria of when you've completed each part of the process. Too many hypnosis professionals out there, they don't know what they're doing. Even some of the best ones, when someone comes in to see them, they have to shoot from the hip. Gosh, they might think, am I going to do age regression with this person, or guided visualization, or should I do parts therapy? The 5-path always knows. So that's a good thing about a system. Another good thing about a system is it can be validated by other people doing it. It's not just the finesse of one person making it work. There are probably 1,000 5-pathers out there, maybe more, and they can validate that what we do works. The other cool thing about a system is that it's just not the person who originated the process that can improve on the process. We have a large hypnosis community where people are always adding to, both questioning parts of 5-path and adding to and refining it. And so we have more than just one person who contributes to the development of 5-path now. We literally have maybe 1,000 people trained in 5-path around the world. So those are things you can talk about. And another thing you can talk about is that we can deal with secondary gain. There's really nowhere have I heard anything about a hypnotist dealing with secondary gain. And if you're talking to some professionals in psychology, counseling, they're familiar with that. If you're talking to a group of hypnotists, you might have to spend a few moments talking about what secondary gain is. And for the viewers and listeners of this program, secondary gain is when there's something going on in the individual's life that is either reinforcing the problem or demanding that the problem continue, even though the cause of the problem has been removed. For example, maybe you're doing pain management with someone. The doctor's done everything they can to remove the pain. You go in there with hypnosis and with hypnoanesthesia or analgesia, you remove the pain. But then it starts to come back later on. And one of the reasons that it could come back is that the person, by losing the pain, also loses something else. For example, maybe they lose a Social Security check, or maybe they lose money from an insurance company or something like that as they get well. And they have to go back to their old job or something like that. And that's really secondary gain. And phase 5, parts mediation therapy, the way that 5-pathers do it, is designed specifically to work with that kind of problem. Anything else you care to add, Meredith?
You know what, I love the fact that people are getting out there and sharing information about 5-path. I mean, all of you who are doing that, whether it's even just on an individual basis or if it's talking to groups, it really makes a big difference. I constantly have clients go, gosh, you know, I took a long journey to find you, and how come more people don't know about this? It's been so effective for me. How come I haven't heard more about this from my doctor? Or how come my therapist didn't recommend hypnosis because she didn't know about your process, and your process is different than what a lot of hypnotists do out there, hypnotherapists do. And so good for you, all of you that are out there doing that kind of work, Janet, for, you know, sharing the information about 5-path. And we just need to keep on trucking, because we need to get the word out so that people can get the help that they deserve.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Good. How are we doing on time?
Well, I think that we have about 5 minutes left, maybe six, and we've got lots more questions, so let's get moving.
All right, let's run through them quickly.
All right, so Teresa wants to know, she says, when suggesting that every time, and she says they, I think she means the client, see the color red, they will feel calmer, more relaxed, more in control of what they eat, etc., etc., do you ever change the color to what may be their favorite or specific to an issue? For example, a client who's frightened of skiing, that every time he or she saw the color white, he or she would feel calm, relaxed, etc.
Okay, I personally don't, but I don't see anything wrong with someone changing the color. A lot of people, they're very client-centered and, you know, they're really concerned about what the client wants. And they'll ask them about the favorite color. And I go, that's just wasted time. It doesn't matter. Red, red, red. That's what Don Motton used. That's good enough for me. And I like red, red, red because when they leave the office, they're going to get in a car probably, and they're going to see tail lights going on. They're going to see stop lights. And you know what? That's a pretty good thing to see. And especially if you're driving that car and maybe, you know, you're a little bit distracted from having the session, to have red pop out at you like that is I think, a really good thing to do. But if you've got another color or a good reason to not use red, go ahead, use another color.
Sounds good. Moving on to her next question, and I'm not quite sure what she's referring to exactly, but she said after watching your most recent video, so this was a little while ago, and she watched one of our podcasts, and she said, I also use the counting down out loud from 100, and I don't believe that that's actually what we talked about, Cal, but for some reason that's what she heard, but I also use the counting down out loud from 100 and rarely have a client who goes further than 98 within that first session. But here's the question. Should I use it with every session, or is there an alternative, or should I presume the client will usually go deeper enough in further sessions?
Okay, just to put some context around this, I believe she's talking about the losing the numbers component of the Ellman-Banyan induction, correct?
Yes, but yeah, that's not quite the way it is included in there.
Yeah, well, she's doing it the old way where they count backwards starting with 100, and I don't do it that way. I start with 1 now, and there's a whole reason for that, and mainly it has to do with some people have this irresistible need to count backwards all the way to 1, just to show you. And when I switch it around starting with 1, then it's like they don't have some destination in mind that they're going. It's easier to get them to lose the numbers. Another reason is that what we're trying for here is mental relaxation, and counting backwards requires more mental effort than counting forwards. And so having them count forwards is a better model and a better technique for getting mental relaxation. Okay, so why do we do that? We have them count forward starting with the number 1. In her case, she did 99 or 100. That's fine. I prefer 1. And to relax the mind with each number until the numbers have faded away to nothing, nothing, nothing. And what this is a hypnotic suggestion for amnesia by suggestion. And amnesia by suggestion is a covert, well, it can be overt or covert, but the way we're doing it with the losing the numbers and counting, it's a covert or covered up or secret, or the client doesn't know about it, test for at least the threshold of somnambulism, which corresponds to stage 4 on the Harry Aaron scale. And so you should always do some kind of covert testing for the depth you want to work with the client in. And typically, I will do that in the first session only and will not do that in subsequent sessions unless I have reason to believe that they're not going to go right back to where they were. Because the tendency for people is to go where they went last time in hypnosis or deeper. But if I have any doubt at all, I can just have them do that losing the numbers component of the Ellman-Banyan induction or some other covert test. Do you think that helps her out?
I think that was great, Cal. I love it. You think we have time for one more
question?
Let's
do one more quickie.
Okay, sounds good. This one's great. I mean, are you still working on the ethics board with the NGH, Cal?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, this is a perfect question for you. This question is from Michael, and it was actually posted on one of our groups on our hypnospace.com. And he's talking about other scripts. He says, my question is not only on the sources of scripts, but how that relates to making of products such as CDs, recordings, that kinds of things to give to clients. He said, obviously, we're not going to plagiarize someone else's work and record it as our own. We will either get permission from the author or give credit to said person. I noticed a few people use the word adapt regarding scripts. As a fairly new hypnotist, yes, I rely on existing scripts for inspiration, but where does that fine line exist in our profession between something truly unique and something that any reasonable person could come up with? Basically, I want to avoid inadvertently stealing someone's work or stepping on toes as I start to create CDs and other products. Any advice?
Okay. We could do a whole episode on this, but let me talk about, you know, I've been on the board of the Ethics Committee and have seen people been removed as a member of the NGH for plagiarism. Now, plagiarism is really also a real legal issue. But let me talk about, if you buy a script book, that's for use on your clients. And as long, you know, if you're using it on one-on-one sessions or a group session with your clients, that's perfectly okay. That's the intended use. But if you were to take that one of those scripts and then word for word publish it again and call it your own, or even publish it and give cite the author, but would do it without their permission, you can run into some real problems there ethically and also legally. But there's a lot of stuff that's just kind of fallen into the public domain of hypnosis. Like, for example, if you say, in a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5, and as I count from 1 to 5, you go deeper. I mean, who knows what came up with that? It's not really owned by anyone. I'm going to count from 1 to 3, and your eyelids are locked down and glued shut. Nobody owns that anymore. When we talk about adapting a script, what that really means is I'm going to modify this standard static kind of script to better fit my client. You don't adapt a script and then publish it under your own name. So just in general rule, if you've got something that's been copyrighted, you can't republish it without permission from the author. And the general rule is that no three words in a row should be the same. I mean, it really should be an original work. But you can't copyright ideas. For example, if there's a script that says, I'd like you to imagine walking down a staircase, and with every step you go down that staircase, go deeper, relaxed. Now, that's an idea. The idea of associating going down a staircase with going deeper, relaxed. And so if you put that in your own words, that's perfectly fine. You cannot copyright ideas. Does that help?
I think that helps. Thank you so much, Cal.
All right.
I think we're ready to wrap it up. You ready?
Yes. I could go on and on. You know me.
I know you could. And I love that about you.
Good. Yeah.
Well, this is Meredith Locker. I work in Los Angeles, California, but I'm currently in Tustin at the Banyan Hypnosis Center, and I'm signing off. You can check out my website at yourpathhypnosis.com. Please do send your feedback, comments, questions, all of that to us. And I did list that, and there are more links below. If you're watching this on calbanyan.com, you can find out exactly where to send all of that information. Thank you so much for tuning in, and take care.
All right, this is Cal Banyan. Go to calbanyan.com. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. That's where my classes are. Go to hypnosis.org because we organize the world of hypnosis for you. You can get a free listing on our directory and leave us a comment. Oh, and of course, join our Hypnospace. Join the community. Tell the world. And the more, the merrier. That's it. Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.